Love. Love Line is meant for an adult audience.
For an adult audience.
Love Line may contain sexually oriented content.
Sexually oriented content.
Listener discretion is advised.
Listener discretion is advised.
This is Love Line.
Love Line.
With Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Yeah. It's Love Line. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board certified physician, addiction medicine specialist. Nicholas Gonzalez is here tonight from the OC. Thursday nights, Fox, 8 o'clock. Nicholas is plays Misha Barton's new love interest in the
Ann Gardner.
Ann Gardner.
Landscaper.
Come on, Drew.
He owns his own business. Come on.
Well, but that's the way the mom looks at it, right?
Yeah.
Mom's angry.
Yeah, she doesn't want him dating the help.
Right.
Yeah, she's hot. But, you know, there is, I got to say, I'm trying to think, probably second only to Pool Man, who's traditionally the blonde beach guy, the Latin gardener, has the most sexual allure on the property.
Yes.
Garbage guy, he don't get anything.
Mailman.
There's the Arab cable guy, I believe, as well, which ranks up there.
Yeah.
Once for a while there. That was a period of history, like 84 to 86.
Now it's digital, there's satellite, there's the dying breed.
But you still got the Pool Man, the guy who likes to work with a shirt off, and then there's the gardener, too. He's a man of few words. Hot days. He does that mop, that sexy brow mop.
He's always there.
And he's always peering. You can always see him through any window in the house. There he is. Pecs glistening in the sun. Brown, tan skin.
And the symbolism of that blower never escapes.
Yeah. It's powerful. It's very phallic.
On many levels.
Very
tall, the blower.
Got the word blow right in it. Yeah.
My character prefers to do all that manually, though.
Yeah. Yeah, he is. He's not a loud man. But besides, I think they got laws for those leaf blowers. I do hate it, by the way, when you're going down the street and the guy's blowing a dust storm, right? If you just got your car washed and he's doing that thing where he's hit the end of the driveway and your car's just driving, I will swerve and go into oncoming traffic to avoid the blower. Mm-hmm. Yes, Drew.
Yes, I'm with you.
Not going to say anything?
No, I'm with you on that.
Let me say this about Nicholas. Speaking of boners. Drew's going to get a boner for this. Stanford University.
Oh, yeah.
And then went abroad to Oxford.
Nice.
Which is like in France or something. And learned more learning stuff there. Yeah.
More book stuff.
That's what are those places where they lend you the books?
The library.
What? What's, one more time.
Well, library.
They keep books there.
Yeah.
And people want to borrow them.
Yeah.
But it doesn't have the word book in it.
I know.
It's so confusing.
I know.
Can't they call it just Big House of Book Lending? Or you know what I'm saying?
You can call it that.
Here's what I'm saying. Place that sells used furniture, what's the sign say?
Used furniture.
Yeah, they don't make up a new word. It should have the word book in it. All right, you know what I'm talking about.
All those Latin prefixes really get you.
Yeah, it's Latin, but they might as well be speaking Japanese Latin. Mm-hmm. Nicholas, what'd you do at Oxford?
I was studying literature and poetry.
Wow. That's more words.
What kind of literature?
I was started focusing more on Irish literature, and I did my Irish thesis on James Joyce Ulysses.
You're gay. Wow. Heady stuff.
I just read Portraits of the Artist of a Young Man. I could barely get through it.
That was a great book. We read that in middle school. Come on.
But I'm saying, Ulysses, I'm not even going to tackle.
Middle school? Really? I was still working out of a Sullivan book in middle school.
Ulysses, oh my God.
Yeah, Ulysses is ridiculous. I definitely don't recommend it as light reading on your own.
Did you go to some sort of like a special junior high or high school or something like that, or prep school?
No, I mean, I was in public school for a while, but went to a private high school that the rest of my family had gone to. But it wasn't really like higher caliber learning.
And then Irish poetry?
Not really too much Irish poetry.
Irish literature.
And so you went to Stanford, you were born in Texas, or you went to high school in Texas, and then you went to Stanford, and then from Stanford you did a year at Oxford.
And I went back on a research grant and spent some time in Paris and Trinity College Dublin. And
That's awesome.
It was a great opportunity. More than anything, was using the money just to travel.
Where'd the acting come in?
I just kind of started with a little bit of improv just for fun. I was running cross country and track in college. Didn't have a lot of time for fun things, and tried that and just kind of fell in love with that, but still didn't think of acting as a career. You know, I thought you kind of had to grow up in Hollywood, so it was a new thing for me.
What were you going to, you figure you'd be a professor or something like that?
No, I was actually thinking investment banking, management consulting.
Oh, really?
They're kind of highly, English majors are highly recruited.
So you were going to come back and go to business school?
At some point, but actually go right into the financial sector and then go back maybe to business school. That was kind of the idea just because I didn't know what I wanted.
When did you graduate from Stanford?
98.
We were there in like 97.
We were?
We spoke
you came to a Kresge Auditorium,
yeah.
I believe.
No. We did that about a year ago, but we spoke in that the Esplanade, the outdoor thing.
Oh, okay.
In like 97.
Yeah, we did the big grassy knoll thing.
Right. It froze. Remember how cold that was?
Yeah, it was freezing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cold nights in San Francisco.
But it was nice.
Yeah.
All I remember is the following morning, I had to fly to Vegas because we're shooting a man show bit. Jimmy and Daniel took the chick who was supposed to pick me up at the airport at 7 a.m. in Vegas out drinking. She got in about 5 a.m. Let me tell you something, the difference between guys and girls, and this is why we get a dollar and you guys get 75 cents, because you know how many guys have gone out, gone tied one on, vomited the night before, gone head hit the pillow about 4:45, maybe 5:15, and then alarm goes off at 6:30, and they may stagger into work green, but they stagger
they
in.
Rally.
Every guy I worked with doing construction could rally.
Yeah.
Guys have a rally gene. Girls don't have the rally gene. Probably better. It stops them from going out and getting, you know, booze until 4:30 in the morning. They live longer. Yeah, because you figure that's got to take at least 9 months off your life. You go out
right
boozing
there.
Hard until 5 a.m. and the alarm goes off at 6:45 and you got to put in 9 hours of hammer swinging out in Bakersfield on some roof somewhere, right? I mean, guys just literally sweating Mickey's big mouth and chewing tobacco.
That's what testosterone does to you. It is.
Yes,
it,
women can't rally.
You. But they don't have that drive.
And the women don't admit they can't rally. They say stuff like, the alarm went off, I don't know what happened, I hit the snooze bar, next thing you know, it's noon.
Right.
You know what I mean? And they never just go, look, I'm weak, I can't do it. I was put here to rear kids, not to pick up guys from airports on an hour's sleep. But the point, now here's the thing that's funny. So she never picked me up. She just like threw up and went back to bed. And I had to catch a flight out of Stanford like 7 a.m. and get there like 8 a.m. We're going to shoot. Of course, I was miserable because I was up the night before. And I had no one's cell phone. I had no idea what hotel we were going to.
Nice.
And I got a cab and the guy said, where to? And I said, what hotel is in the middle of the strip? And the Aladdin or something or whatever it was. And he actually dropped me off in the middle of the strip. I figured, well, we might as well just go in the middle.
Yeah.
And I'll
work my way. What finally happened?
Around. I think I just like sat on the cell phone for about an hour calling someone who knows, someone who knows, someone who knows, and eventually got the person. But that's when I knew chicks can't rally. You can't rally. And stop pretending you can. That's the thing. Is that, you know what happens when you pretend you can rally, Drew?
People expect you to.
I get left at the airport.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what happens.
Yeah, people get hurt.
Right. No, if my wife goes to bed, like, after the streetlights come on, she won't go into work the next day. It's like, I only slept for 13 hours. I can't make it. I'm calling in sick. And by the way, women, for some reason, don't have to show up at work
either.
Yeah,
the call in sick thing. It's
guys, I got to go in. Well, I just tell them, listen, you got a compound fracture. Your tibula. It's sticking out of your skin. I got to go in.
Yeah, the calling in sick thing. You got to be your feet knocked out from under you. So you got to not be able to go in to call in sick.
And all they got to do is play that feminine card.
Yeah.
Just a little. Start weaving. No, start weaving the tampon
time of the month,
and the time of the or whatever. I got a colleges. I got a thing.
Okay.
A week. Take a month. Full pay. Full month. Quit. As a matter of fact, we'll pay you. You'll never work again. Yeah. But Nicholas, you can rally, right?
I rally. I'm after rally actually tomorrow morning.
Yeah, ooh. What time you have to get up?
About 6.
You're going. You going to the OC set of the OC?
I'm actually working on a film called Dirty.
Ah, I see that here with Cuba Gooding Jr. and Wycliffe Jean.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, shooting here in L.A.
Oh, really?
Play Dirty Cops. It's kind of based on the Rampart
people
scandal.
People shooting a movie in Los Angeles.
We're bringing it home.
Yeah, based on the Rampart scandal, which is like kind of a big deal that. Never really turned into a big deal, but
it turned into The Shield is all I think it turned into.
Oh,
right?
Really?
Yeah, like not a lot of people actually got busted from it, but it turned into a lot of great TV shows.
Yeah, and there's some talk about Biggie Smalls or whoever got shot out front of the Peterson Automotive Museum, or maybe it was the Museum of Tolerance, ironically, but whoever the rapper was, Biggie, who got shot about 4 or 5 years ago, there's some Rampart police.
There's a crazy tie-in thing
that just sort of got swept under the carpet, and they think the guy who did it was a cop who was a record of
Strangely enough, these guys keep coming out with CDs.
Yeah.
It's amazing. More than when they were living.
Oh, yeah. Drew, when you pass on, that's when you're really going to start being productive on this show.
Yeah. It certainly wouldn't be hard to do more than I was living.
Anderson, do you have any kind of virtual Drew we can do? See if we can get a little entertainment out of you. All right. So when do you wrap that?
Are you a Mormon?
Thank you. Oh, that was you. Idiot. That's Drew's greatest drop.
Chill pill.
Anderson, come on. Give us a little best of Drew just for fun.
I'm a rapist.
Okay, Drew, let him do the drops first.
Sit your moist ass down. Oh. There's not much you can put up your butt.
Mm-hmm.
Where'd those come from? Do you think you're talking to?
Wow.
You are my teacher.
Yeah. Do the one where he's yelling at the person. What do you, I like when you get angry.
Listen.
Yeah, listen. Yeah, I like
hey,
to listen.
Listen. Why is that funny?
It's just funny because you're coming undone. You know what? It's like a guy with a bow tie when it gets messed up, and his hair gets a little screwed up, and his pocket liner goes askew.
Time to start listening, goddammit.
Yeah.
He's an idiot. He's a dick. They're pussy. She's effed up. He's an ass. Where did that come from?
Who knows? It's powerful. All right, so the point is we don't really need you anymore, Drew.
It's great. I got a bad cough tonight. I can go home.
I want you to stay here.
And just listen to the virtual drops.
No, I'd like you to give me some coffee.
Oh, yeah, that too.
And not cough into it. I had to train Drew to put his hand in front of his goddamn mouth when he coughs. Drew, you're a doctor.
Have you ever contracted anything from me, ever?
Who knows what I've got? I could have AIDS and hepatitis right now. Doing battle for lead disease in me.
That was a world-class dick.
Not
from college.
Right, that's from when we went to Stanford.
Yeah.
All right. All right, let's take some phone calls. Let's rally.
Come on, let's break it down.
Nicholas, get a hand. Let's go.
I got it.
All right, let's go to the phones now. Jessica.
Yes?
23?
Mm-hmm.
What's up?
I wanted to talk to Dr. Drew about this little thing that's kind of gotten out of hand with me in the last 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
Okay. I have this daddy thing, and I guess it started about a year after I got married. Mm-hmm. And it started off as just, you know, like light spanking older men. Wasn't really sexual.
Light spanking?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, who's your daddy kind of thing.
Right.
And it's grown into where I've actually joined a few play groups and got into it to the point where I have, I guess what you would call in the BDSM world, a master, but it's more of like a daddy thing. Mm. It's gotten sexual, and it's just gotten to the point where, like, I don't know, I think it's out of control, and I just want more the deeper it gets.
All right. Do you have a safe word? I'm always interested in that. What is it?
Red.
Oh. I figure safe word should be like a, fraternities have secret handshakes.
Should be a secret?
You shouldn't be able to divulge that. You know, I mean, that's like your PIN number, that safe word, you know? Once they start finding that out, you're screwed.
But
people
yellow
picking it up, using your safe
down.
Word. Well, that's Jessica, your handle. That's like what a handle is to a trucker. The BDSM people, your safe word.
Have you ever been addicted to a drug?
No, not really. I mean, I experimented in high school and college.
But didn't get strung out or anything?
Mm-mm.
So what do you like? You're on the bottom of the it's your fanny turning red, right? When the guy's being there.
It's gotten to a deeper level than that. I mean, it was never sexual and now it's sexual. I'm married. I have two kids. I'm a professional. I mean, I work an 8-to-5 job. I take care of my family, but in the evenings I'm sneaking out to go over and just
This is an addiction now, Jessica. This is
You mean with someone other than your husband?
Yeah.
Right.
All right, so this is cheating then, right?
This is cheating, but this is more. This is compulsion. This is addiction.
But you're having sex with these people?
But you have to understand, like, the person I'm with now, the sexual level I get to, I've never had an orgasm or been brought into the level I've been brought in with him. I mean, it's just this, like, sub-heaven. I don't even...
Hold on. Are professionals supposed to say Broughton?
Yeah, I know. And a professional is, like, checker at the grocery store.
Is it a sub-heaven or a super-heaven, actually, if it's greater, right?
Yeah, good point.
Ooh. Touché.
What would Dante say about that? Was it Mars, Venus? What level of heaven did she get to?
Yeah. Broughton is a kind of sausage, I think.
A second ring.
Jessica?
Mm-hmm.
What do you do, by the way, just out of curiosity?
I'm a nurse.
Oh, okay. All right.
So it's not really a professional, then.
Well, what happened to you growing up? Do you have some sort of trauma history?
Come on, Nicholas.
Not really. Jessica?
Not really?
All nurses had some sort of trauma.
You weren't physically abused?
True place.
No, I mean, my mom, you know, would whoop us, but, I mean, who didn't get whooped? I grew up in Texas.
Hey, Jessica, that's physical abuse. I don't care why. Listen, I don't care where you grew up. It is what it is. It just has an effect on people growing up. And one of the more common consequences is that people end up sort of preoccupied with S&M kinds of behaviors.
Yeah.
And you got married way too young. It's not clear that you should be married. But most importantly, you're compulsed. You're addicted right now, and you've got to get treatment for this.
Two kids.
Yeah, this is the horrible things are going to happen if you don't get going.
And that whole part where the kids don't know what you're doing, so they're completely unaffected, is BS.
Nonsense.
They don't have to know what you're doing. They just know. Kids are sponges. They feel stuff. They don't need to know where it's coming from. They know when mommy's a screw-up.
Yeah.
That's what they're getting off of you. They're sucking all that up.
That, and just like heroin or any other addiction, eventually the house of cards fails. There will be consequences, and they will be serious. So you get some help from this, Jessica.
But wait a minute. How does your husband, by the way, and I know you sound angry at him because when I was asking about the sexual part, you were just saying, well, he's never brought me to an orgasm. Believe me, if that was a criteria for cheating, I would have killed myself years ago.
I mean, your wife would have...
Years. Years I would have never met my wife. I would have killed myself at junior high.
Right, good point.
If not bringing a woman to orgasm meant it was okay to cheat on you?
Yeah.
Whew. I'd be doing the show off a therapist's sofa right now. You know what I actually have to do? I'd take my therapist's sofa and actually I'd put a trailer hitch on and have to drag me behind his car when he went home.
All the time.
I would never leave. Yeah. No, I'd talk through an intercom. I'd be back there with, like, parking lights on and stuff, like, directing traffic, but physically never leaving the sofa intravenous. Mm-hmm. Maybe, like, put, like, the trucker's, you know, a catheter in me so I could, you know. But I couldn't leave the sofa.
No.
Okay. Jessica?
Mm-hmm.
So your husband, does he know what you're doing?
No.
No.
And what does he think you're doing? You're leaving and you're coming home with, you know, palm prints on your ass?
Well, I'm a supervisor for the company I work for. We have homes, and we deal with, you know, in-home care with, you know, mentally handicapped, elderly, disabled. So when anything happens, I get called out to, you know, deal with it. And, you know, he's usually leaving at night for, you know, reasons.
So you go to these clubs, you have intercourse with these men?
No, and it's not, okay, don't get that wrong, it's not men, it hasn't been a huge variety of them. I mean, I think I've had probably three in the last 4 years, and they've all been long-term, but the level that we get to just keeps getting deeper and deeper.
Long-term relationships outside the wedding. Oh, I mean, outside the marriage.
I can see the guy just says, well, okay, well, as long as you're not having just cheap, tawdry sex, you're actually in love with these gents.
It's one a year, too, it's good.
Yeah. And by the way, you're 23. Let's see. By the time you're 40, let's do the math.
She's really going to get in trouble here. She's something horrible is going to happen.
All right, Jessica, the wheels are going to come off your S&M wagon any second now. You got to get some help. You're a nurse. You understand the concept of getting help. What?
Yes, but I mean, where do you go for something like this? I mean, there are psychotherapists and say I like to be spanked. Can you help me?
No. You need to go to somebody who specializes in treating sexual addictions. This requires a very specific kind of treatment intervention. It's a particular behavior, it's a particular syndrome, and there are specialists in this area. I would suggest you call Del Amo Treatment Center in Torrance, California, and see if they have any referrals in your area.
Okay.
They're out here. We're out in Los Angeles. That's the best place I know of.
Really?
Yeah.
What else are they?
They treat a lot of porn stars. A lot of people.
They do.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, Adam. They take some of your favorites off the screen.
They need me like guest lecturers or anything like that. I like to come in.
Sometimes they're looking for perps. Yeah, looking for perpetrators.
Just hang out in the waiting room.
Yeah.
But Jessica, please take care of this. You don't. You have a sense of this thing progressing. You don't have a sense of the consequences that can develop. It can be awful, like any other addiction. And you've got a family to concern yourself with, a career. Get with it. It's D-E-L-A-M-O in Torrance, California, and ask for a referral in your area.
All right. Now, what do you do with the husband? Because I know it's so easy to do this. Look, you come clean. Drew, over here, buddy.
I'm sorry. My God, this is ridiculous.
Drew, you have TB.
She could be.
And now I have it, and so does Nicholas.
Yeah.
Okay, here's my point. What do you do with the husband? You come clean? You know, because I'm a huge fan of lying to the spouse,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, all the, if this guy hears, yeah, sweetie, for the last 2.5 years, you know, I've been sleeping. Remember all those emergency calls? I was not going there. I was going to Bob's Bondage Shack, and I was getting the crap beat out of me by a Korean businessman. We had a relationship for a year and a half. Does he need to hear that?
Well, one of the things that...
What does he need to hear?
Well, nothing at first, just that she's got psychological problems and needs treatment. But ultimately, the people that treat sexual addictions do specialize in dealing with the feelings of betrayal that the partner undoubtedly will have. And you try to preserve that relationship, try to get through that. It's very difficult.
That'd be great. That'd be my job, that counselor. What is it, Doc? She's smoking pot? That'd be the best day of your life, buddy. Best day. What is it? Is it something? Is it? What is it, speed? Cocaine? No. Because I notice sometimes the drugs give her, make it difficult for her to sit down. She has, seems to have pain. Oh, yeah.
Oh yeah.
It's like, it would just be a horrible gig just telling people, look, she's been with, you know, a handful of guys who've been beating her ass and having a rough trade hair tuck. But, now, she had a safe word.
But think about it this way. At a certain point, when the behaviors are way bizarre and out of line and sick,
yeah,
some of the partners just go, oh, ugh. You know, she's sick. I didn't know it. I was just,
well,
it's like,
yeah.
So it's like, ugh.
Yeah, but now
this is a different person.
Well, but it becomes like your car got stolen. You want to get it back, and then you find out it was in the bottom of a mire, and it's, you know, covered in. That's when you just, it's an insurance thing. I mean, you just, oh, this is a total. Now I'm walking away. I got to drive a Taurus for a few months, and then I got to get a new ride.
Or you look at it and say,
that Taurus is a fat chick.
Okay,
this is like I have sex with her for a while. And yeah. then I get a new ride. See what I'm saying? Yeah, I couldn't take it. But I don't know. Nicholas, could you take it? Could you forgive? Could you move on?
I don't want to discourage her from finding out.
Well, because a lot of people can't.
You'd be surprised what people are willing to accept.
Well, not only that, you've got a family to worry about. It's a whole different context. And boy, I don't know. Mm-hmm. So painful.
All right. Well, let's keep moving because some guy burned his genitalia with a blowtorch.
So stay in an upbeat.
Mike?
Yeah.
Boy, imagine what that smells like. Mm-hmm. You know, you burn a pube, it just smells like flesh on a radiator.
The funk that goes on in your junk.
Oh, no.
And the paper mache would go up and the talc and everything. You'd explode. It'd be an explosion.
No, yeah. I mean, I got enough going on down there.
Yeah. All the gases and stuff, it'd be some kind of...
It's flammable. Yeah. Hey, Mike?
Yeah.
What happened to your genitals?
I was torching at work. And somehow I got propane or oxygen in my pants leg, and it just ignited.
Would oxygen ignite, or wouldn't it have to be propane?
I don't know. I was told it could be either or.
Oh, really?
Extend a flame.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess it can, yeah. But just the idea that it ignited.
Yeah.
And it went up your pant leg?
Yeah, it went up my right pant leg and it went completely down the left.
Wow. Ooh. And what happened in the middle?
It was all second and third degree burns.
Ugh.
Were you wearing underpants?
I was wearing my boxers, yes.
He was wearing them.
Mm.
Yes.
I wonder if briefs would have worked better or worse for this.
Fascinating question, but...
Well, I'm just saying that, you know, if you're wearing, like, midways, like I like to wear midway,
so
maybe it would have penetrated.
Yeah.
Maybe it would have went around there.
You're right. Just another reason to wear tighter underwear.
Yeah. Hey, Mike, what do you do for a living?
I'm a torturer. I cut sheet iron and steel and stuff.
No, use like acetylene torch?
A 3-foot torch.
All right. You see, yeah. All right, so now what happened? You got burns and everyone at work is making fun of you, but have you taken some time off?
Yeah, I've been off for a little over a month and a half now.
Did they preserve your genitalia?
Yeah, it don't look near as right, but...
Yeah, well, you're one of those hairless dogs now.
But here's the good news. The testes, how much worse can they look?
No, who knows?
So it's not that.
You would not look. You would not know the difference between testes of, you know, a Brad Pitt's or a haggard sea captain's sack. The sea captain sack could look better.
Right.
Haggard, salty sea captain's sack is probably as good looking, or this one, sacks become like animals. Like, I can't tell you what buffalo's better looking than the next
rhinoceros.
Buffalo. Or what rhinoceros. Sacks are a mess.
Rhinoceros with the burn on it, does that make a big difference? No.
Yeah, they're all a mess. The penis, all sacks are a mess.
The penis can have trouble functioning. It can pull the one
different.
Side or the other and
yeah,
hurt and whatnot.
That's
so.
Different. Mike?
Yeah.
How'd the penis fare?
Well, it works. I'm just wondering if I could be sterile now.
Did your testes fall out of the scrotum or anything? I mean,
it
erode?
It just hurts.
Yeah, that's your skin, though.
Yeah.
That's your skin
hurting.
You
didn't cook your sperm or anything.
No, they should be okay.
You're fine.
Because I've had a couple doctors tell me it's possible that it could be sterile. So I was just wanting to see.
I imagine it's possible if you damage the testes. Did the urologist told you that?
As a doctor at the burn unit.
The burn unit. I mean, I suppose it's possible, but why don't you get a sperm count and see?
All right.
I doubt it. I really doubt that. That should be fine.
Yeah. And you can't do your own sperm count by beating off on a flashlight, Mike. You got to go in.
I figured that.
Made that mistake.
You tried that a couple times? A
couple times. You know, the lantern style ones are pretty big lens on them. You figure with the light right behind it and like a sharp pencil, you could probably tell.
And a magnifying glass.
They just move around so quick, it's always hard to count.
It's hard. I think I count the same one like 30 or 40 times. All right, Mike, good luck with that.
All right, thank you.
All right, get back to work.
I'm planning on it.
All right. I don't like to see guys milking the system way, you know. No, you got burned genitalia.
But I mean, isn't that different than the guy with the back pain who's out for 4 years? And yeah, you know, Mike nearly gets his nuts fried off, and he's I'm going back to work next week.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
Yeah, yeah.
It's all about rallying.
Yeah, you got to rally. Mike can rally. Mm-hmm. All right, let's take ourselves a little break. Nicholas Gonzalez is here tonight from the OC, Fox 8 o'clock Thursday night. Plays Misha Barton's new boyfriend, and also on NBC's Law & Order, Special Victims Unit,
ooh,
recurring role. Got a movie called Dirty coming out soon enough. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back after this. Yeah, everybody. Get it on. It's a love line. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Nicholas Gonzalez is here tonight. He plays DJ. We'll call him the landscape architect who gets to pal around with Misha Barton on the OC Fox Thursday nights, 8 o'clock. Also, new time for my beloved Crank Yankers, Wednesday nights, 9 o'clock. Big premiere tomorrow with Jeff Goldblum and Drew Carey.
Excellent.
Tomorrow night, 9 o'clock on Comedy Central, Wednesday night. All right, Drew.
Yeah.
We have been doing this thing that we started last night, as far as I know.
Right.
This is K-Rock, K-R-O-Q, and you can visit them at krock.com, krock.com. That's the mother station. That's where we broadcast from. They are the founders of Loveline. Drew on K-Rock for 10 years before it went syndicated.
Right.
And now this is a thing that's open to the entire country, which is we're raising money for the tsunami relief, and we're doing, you know, guitars being signed and giveaway, concerts, all sorts of
have
cool
stuff. Have Wu Mustang play in your house, play at a party you choose. Pennywise comes to your house.
I really do think that Pennywise doesn't come to your house.
Well, that's what I'd pay
that
for,
one
yes,
works.
Yes. That and who's going to pay for the cleanup
what's
after they
the
do come?
What's up to? Yeah, because if you don't get in on that, Fletcher and company may actually show up at your house.
And take you to Poo Poo City. And then,
that's a very bad place to go.
Yeah, with Fletch.
You got to take Hershey Highway to Poo Poo City.
Sasquatch Fletch.
Yeah. So anyway, I don't know how much the Pennywise doesn't come to your house is, but it should be way up there. We should be talking about Fabergé egg type prices for that.
Right. One of the things you can do is bid to pay for the tsunami survivors to be a co-host here on Loveline.
Yes. You come in and watch me talk at people for 2 hours.
I don't know what their fantasy is of what this is going to be, but I promise disappointment. It's not worth what you're paying.
I promise that I will be in my best behavior.
Which already is unbelievable.
I will wear a sweater and shoes and pants. I will not come in with the
will
erection.
Will you talk to these people
the
here before the show?
I will talk to you.
Wow.
We will take a picture.
I won't have an erection in sweatpants.
Yes, I
will.
Sweatpants,
no underwear.
Yes, of course you will.
Yes, I will. The point is it's up to $6,000. But it's a tax write-off, and it's $6,000 that's going to a good cause.
And here's the other good news. The bidding does not include airfare, hotel, or food. Yeah. You got to provide all that for yourself and all then right. come here.
But you come out, you hang out, and you co-host, and we give you a nice disc at the end of it. You get a nice CD of it.
And then wave goodbye as we sprint out the door.
Drew and I. And then we talk about you all the way home, by the way. That's what we do. Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah, Nicholas. Don't worry.
We'll be talking about you at about 12:03 tonight. That's when the conversation, we gossip. And it usually goes something like this. I thought he was cute. Ew.
Dreamy.
Yeah. All right. So, but Nicholas, this is a good time, right?
It's a great time.
Yeah, he's like, it's a great time.
It's fantastic.
He didn't look in the eye when he said that.
Yeah,
good time.
Yeah, massage your chairs.
Yeah.
This place is amazing.
Yeah, it's done up. Am I right?
Oh, yeah.
Engineer Chris over there.
You should see these guys in suits here. It's amazing.
Yeah. Tails. Top
plush,
hat.
Plush.
Cane. Yeah, so get those bids in. Come and hang out with us. Watch Drew hit the microphone with various objects. And you'll be on the show. You're not just going to be sitting there.
Yeah,
you'll be co-hosting.
You'll be the listener love line.
Yeah, I may do nothing.
Which, fine, we'll be happy to do nothing while you host.
Yeah, see what that sounds like. Hi, this is Fred. This is love show, love phones, love like, let's go to the phones. Alexander's 8118. You're on the love phone. That it's gonna be 2 hours of that, Drew, if I don't talk. What's it up to now, buddy?
Junior producer Lauren brought in the Pennywise is $3,750 and the OC walk on $3,100.
Ooh, forgot about that.
Yeah,
you may be Nicholas's next love interest, mm-hmm. next Anglo love interest.
That's for a sex scene with Ben McKenzie, isn't it?
Yeah, $3,100. No, you will be on the set, and you'll be in an episode. And these are things, by the way. The $3,000, the $4,000 it costs you to do this will be long forgotten about. But
part of your story,
the tape of you on the OC when you're in your early 20s and looking hot will go on forever. That'll be passed down for generations.
Do they have to pay them residuals?
Ooh.
The gift that just keeps on giving. You'll make your money back.
Yeah, and then there's meal penalties, overtime, golden time.
You wear your own clothes, they got to pay you for that.
You go in there and wow them, you get a reoccurring role.
Make a profit.
Yeah.
Yeah, these are opportunities, not just
adventures. That's what I'm saying.
Adventures.
You come on this show, you blow the management away, next thing you know, you're in Kirk's chair.
It's a change of life auction going on here.
Samantha?
Hello?
You're 20?
Hi, yeah.
Yeah, what's going on?
Okay, so when a woman has sex with a man, there's this chemical that's released in the woman's brain.
Oxytocin.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, oxytocin.
Right.
Mm. And does this happen when a woman's raped or when she has sex and she doesn't orgasm? Mm.
It doesn't have to do with orgasm. And
it's
I've never...
Penis in
it's
the vagina.
Just it's the intimacy of sex, yeah. And I don't
Not
know...
Rape.
No, I don't know about rape. I don't know.
Well, I'll tell you
I doubt
why.
It. I doubt
I'll
it.
Tell you why it wouldn't be rape, Drew.
Why?
Because that would be a violent crime.
Rape's a violent crime.
It's not sexual at all, so there'd
sexual,
be no oxytocin.
No, it's
released.
A violent, violent...
Nicholas, take note.
It's a violent crime where you come. But other than that, it's not sexual.
It's just it's like a liquor store robbery.
If I walked into a liquor store...
Pistol whipped
the woman behind the counter, took all the money out of the register, and then came, it would be no...
It'd be the same thing, right? That'd be rape.
It would be rape.
It's the same thing.
Well, the point is it's not a sexual crime, although you come... It's a violent crime where you orgasm. That's all. That's all, but it's violent. That's true. If I just jumped on you right now, unprovoked,
beat the crap out of me,
I picked up this computer screen,
smash
your head, and then began to orgasm on you, it would be
same thing.
Be the same.
Be the same.
That's the same.
How
thing.
Is that different? How
it's
is that
not different.
It's violent.
It's just violent. Where you come. That's all. But it's not a sexual crime.
How dare they say anything sexual about it?
Where do they even get it? Where do they even? How dare they? Where does that even tie in the sexuality part? Just because your genitalia is erect and it's inside the other person,
and you come,
and you have an orgasm, does not mean it's a. I didn't know where it comes from. It's confusing.
Where in history of humanity did they ever come up with that?
Are you telling me that every time I pull my erect penis out, put it inside a woman, and have an orgasm, it's something sexual?
How dare you?
Please, it angers me, Drew.
Of course,
when they put labels on things.
Well, because
these
women become. Survivors of violent crime.
That's right. It's not a sexual crime.
Yeah.
All right. Now, Drew, explain that rant.
What
I mean is,
without
trying to sound insensitive, what we're saying is obviously it's a sexual crime
people
to
for
the
some
person
reason
that's
wanted...
having the orgasm.
Yes.
It still can be a crime.
It's still violent, but it's a an aggressive expression of sexuality in men that can't contain their aggression. And for whom sex and aggression and violence kind of go together. And the women are victims of a violent crime that is a sexual violent crime.
Well, by the way, then there are no sexual crimes. They're all violent
crimes.
There's
no sex then either, because it all becomes vaguely violent.
Like, what'd you do this? Well, me and my gal went to Santa Barbara for the weekend. I beat the crap out of her.
Right.
I mean, that's really what it is.
Right.
I perpetrated violence.
And by the same token, if there was a liquor store robbery, that was rape.
Yeah. All right. Anyway.
Yeah, so the point is...
Violent crime, where you come.
Right, so Samantha, what had happened to you?
Anything?
What about if you get fingered or eaten out and it's intimate, do you release that chemical still?
What do you mean, and it's intimate? What does that mean?
You're saying that the reason why you release the chemical when you have sex is because you're intimate.
Yeah.
So do you release that chemical?
I really love eating
Well,
out,
give me, I know. She went to the same Oxford. Yeah, same thing as Nicholas.
You studied
Irish literature. And
were you brought into an orgasm?
Yeah.
Well, but what happened to you? Stop giving us the hypotheticals. What happened?
So I'm wondering if I have sex with this guy, if I'm going to get more attached than if I just
absolutely
get to orgasm.
Yes, if you have sex, you will get more attached, and he may not because he's wired differently.
But Drew, what about a light finger blasting?
She still might. That is absolutely the case, Samantha.
Which is a violent, violent act.
And
it's
very peculiar or hard to understand how some women can at certain times not get attached when they're sexual. Some women can very easily control that or choose when not to. Others, no matter what, when they become intimate, they start getting attached.
Samantha, why? Why do you not want to become attached to this guy?
Because the relationship is not feasible. Like, it's not going to happen. So I don't want to,
he's married.
And feel bad, huh? He just lives long distance, so
he doesn't like you that way.
Yeah. So why put yourself through that? I mean, if you're going to really start, it's going to be painful to get that attached.
Where does he live?
About 7 hours driving away.
Yeah, but he could make that in 4.5. Motivated, Drew.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, as a passionate man.
Oh yeah.
You defy.
Okay, I have another
laws.
Question.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. He doesn't like you that way, though, right?
No, he
does. No, he'd be on his car coming up there.
He's in love with you?
No.
Well, do you guys think you could have a relationship?
Yes.
You think
but
you could?
I'm too young to have a long-distance thing.
All right, fine. It's fine, Samantha. You're being practical about this. That's fine.
She's withholding something.
But also, really, there's something more about your history you're not telling us, A. And B, he's not that motivated, or he'd be insisting that this go forward. He'd find a way to make it work.
At least until after you had sex.
Right. Yeah. Nicholas makes a very valid point.
Yeah. All right. Samantha's angry, too. What's wrong?
Yes.
I got to find
out.
No. You're not asking any more questions. I got to ask some questions. Why are you angry?
I'm not angry.
What happened? Where's your dad? What'd he do to you?
I actually made that up.
You made what? The whole?
I made up the story that my dad raped me so I could get on the show because I wanted to ask about the chemical thing because I want to know.
I didn't even know your dad raped you.
Adam doesn't have that information, so.
Oh.
But he's still picking up that you sort of have some anger towards Matt.
Yeah.
And when did your dad rape you?
20-year-old girls who just sort of casually do the dad raped story.
You feel the need to call up and lie to three men that she doesn't know?
Got issues. Now, what's going on?
I don't know. I don't think I have problems.
You love your dad?
Yeah.
He's a good man?
Yeah.
He's him and your mom are still together?
No, they're not.
When did he leave?
2 years ago.
All right. Ooh. Is he still around?
Yeah, I still see him.
That's kind of weird, though, him to leave when you're 18, right?
Some guys wait until the kid turns, like, 18.
But they'd be kind of resentful and angry at that. And we're just picking up some resentment, anger of something. And maybe you're just angry at this guy that you want to be involved with and can't. Whatever. We're just picking that up.
All right. There's something going on. Yeah, some guys will hang out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's kind of the right thing to do, I guess. Wait till the kid goes off to college somewhere, and then you're out.
It leaves them feeling like they lived a lie for a while. And
sure, I'm leaving you options, buddy.
Oh, thanks, I appreciate that.
You know what I'm saying?
It's a good time.
I'm just laying a little groundwork, that's all. It's like a 401k.
Relax.
Just doing a little, a little nest feathering, that's all. The same, buddy. You need a plan B. You know what I mean? Every business needs a rear exit. You know what I'm saying? A little emergency thing with the bar on it. Saying. I'm not saying that's the way you leave, but if there's a fire.
It's called
a
golden parachute?
That's right.
I see.
I'm going to do something else golden on you during the break. You want to do
well,
that?
That's, yeah, I can't wait.
It's going to be awesome.
Let's go.
Nicholas Gonzalez is here tonight from the OC, plays DJ on the OC. And we'll take ourselves a little break. We'll be right back after this. Hey, it's Loveline, everybody. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Nicholas Gonzalez is here tonight from the OC, Thursday nights, 8 o'clock, Fox. He's currently Misha Barton's love interest. Taboo love. He's the mom.
He's Mexican.
The mom knows him as a gardener. Yeah, you don't really have to say Mexican anymore. Just say gardener. We don't. Back in the day, it used to be Japanese guys. We had, my grandparents had a gardener. Guy came twice a year, I think. His name was Mr. Otaki. He had like a pith helmet on.
Would teach you karate.
Yeah. No, but I mean, gardeners used to wear uniforms, which is, everyone used to wear uniforms. Like, people used to fly, they wear a sport jacket and an ascot. Gardeners would have like, you know, they'd have like tan short sleeve, like sort of safari shirts tucked into trousers with boots. And now the guy's wearing the making bacon t-shirt that's cut off, the two pigs going at it backside.
Oh, nice.
And the confusing hat, which is the guy's wearing the Cal Jam 79. I was there, you know, like You're into Sammy Hagar. You don't speak English. Like, you must have got that hat somewhere else.
Sammy.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. But he cooks with tequila. I learned that from the Food Network.
Queen's English like Nicholas does.
No, he went abroad and now he's on him. Yeah, Eric.
Yeah.
You're 18.
Yeah.
You have a German or Florida for us?
I do.
What's up? Here we go.
Right. Nicholas needs to know how to play this.
Nicholas, I was going to explain. And I thought, just hang in, and then we'll tell you how it goes. Don't say anything.
Listen carefully.
Go ahead, Eric.
All right. A man is facing charges after forcing his neighbors to stop redecorating at gunpoint. Police say the 45-year-old man walked into an apartment of a 17-year-old neighbor and told the teenager and his friend to stop redecorating at once because the noise was getting on his nerves. While telling them this, he pointed his gun at their bodies and heads. After he left, the two men called the police, who brought the man in for questioning. He is now facing charges for harassment and violating weapons legislation.
Mm-hmm.
That's got to be Florida.
Why?
Weapons legislation.
Was it Germany or Florida is the question.
Yeah.
Where did this take place?
Because this year, summer.
Yeah. All right. So, now, 17-year-old neighbors, young neighbors, decorating. They were making a bong out of some PVC pipe.
Right.
They were decorating. They were banging on something for a long time.
Right.
And that was it.
Right.
And then he got angry, and he went in there with his gun.
Now, that whole notion of redecorating makes me think, could that have been a German story with a translation problem?
Yeah, but 17-year-old roommates...
Don't redecorate.
No, they put up a poster, but they don't really redecorate.
No.
And redecorate?
No. But the gun.
Where are you going?
And the apartment building.
Where are you going?
Florida.
Nicholas?
This is all stateside?
It's either Germany or Florida.
That's where all weird things happen.
Yeah.
One or the other.
Say Canada, huh?
Germany or Florida.
Gotta be Germany or Florida.
Florida sounds like the one to go.
Florida?
Go off your cue.
I'm going Germany with the decorating part.
Yeah, you've done well with the contrarian point of view lately.
Thank you, but I disagree. Eric?
Yeah.
Is it Germany or Florida?
Adam, you got it.
Aha. Uh-huh. See?
Yeah! Hell yeah! Yeah! Yeah, called Germany or Florida. Thank you, Eric.
Right there in the name.
Hey, by the way.
Yeah.
Nicholas, good job in Law and Order.
Oh, thank you very much.
Special really Victims Unit.
I had the most fun out of anything I've been doing on doing that show.
Oh, really?
That's been incredible. Shooting in New York, on the streets of New York.
And it's like you're making a movie, right?
It's incredible, yeah. I mean, they also always reshoot, so I get to go back again to New York.
You're taking care picking of stuff up, getting paid, first class airfare.
All my miles are going up.
I was watching the $6 Million Man the other night, and I thought, I know, awesome and everything, but what a turd. And I thought, boy, you know, this is an hour-long primetime network drama, essentially, that from 1978. And you watch it, and you realize, first off, budget, like, almost zero. Like, right. You know, things that were supposed to be Army helicopters were clearly news helicopters.
Right. Weather,
you know,
yeah.
Said Army on the side of it, you know. Since one is turquoise and yellow, the color of the Army.
Right.
You know what I mean? But just nothing. No bad acting. You know, the biggest thing, they'd roll a Jeep over or something like that. And there was really nothing in the way of special effects or anything. No. And the story was, like, slow and plotting, and it looked bad. And it wasn't lit right and everything. And I start thinking about these shows, you know, Law and Order, or The Shield, or 24. So,
oh, yeah.
Some movies they're making.
Yeah.
I mean, the budgets are crazy. And then also the guest cast now, like some of the incredible actors you see in film are returning to TV. So.
Yeah. I mean, do you have any idea, by the way, what the budget is for
these? You know, I know. I used to do a show called Resurrection Boulevard on Showtime, and mm-hmm. we had a pretty conservative
budget.
It
was a boxing
exactly.
show.
And we got like $1.1 million per episode, which was great for us and being on Showtime, but this is network. I gotta think it's got to be so much bigger than that.
Yeah, I
couldn't even venture to say.
I mean, it's got to be the budget of a... You know, what it would... Well, first off, it seems like the equivalent to shooting an hour's worth of movie. I mean, if you shoot an hour's worth of 24 or SVU or something like that, it's just got to be...
The same.
It's got to be half of what a two-hour movie would be or you know, two-thirds of what a 90-minute would be.
Yeesh.
All right. Yeah, millions. Wow.
That's like 2 or 3 million.
So. Yeah. I don't know how that
they don't pay
works.
A lot.
Yeah, I know. It's all going to the cinematographer and guest actors. All right, let's take a Dre. I'm taking a break here, buddy. Nicholas Gonzalez here tonight from the OC. We'll take a quick break. Be right back after this. Yeah, everybody. Yeah. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Nicholas Gonzalez is here tonight from the OC. Thursday nights, 8 o'clock, Fox. Drew.
Mm-hmm.
Feeling better?
Feeling good. I just got a horrible cough.
Drew's got a cough. And let's talk to Nick, who's an Iraqi vet, now has trouble talking to girls. Let's talk to Nick. Nick?
Hey, how you doing?
Good. So you're back from Iraq?
Yeah, I just got back in March. It was quite a year.
How long were you there for a year?
Yeah, I was there for a year. I actually went to Iraq when we first invaded. I was with the 4th Infantry Division. Based out of Fort Hood, Texas, and I just got out of the Army in August.
Is everyone, I don't know the schedule, and I guess it varies. Like in Vietnam, people would do a tour, a one-year tour, and then they were able to go home, I guess. Is that how it works in Iraq?
Not really. I mean, it's pretty much, it's like the division or whoever, the higher-ups have a timetable for each battalion for however long.
Mm-hmm.
And some people are actually staying out there. I know my best friend is out there right now, and he's going to be staying about 18 months. And
wow.
So, I tell you, they've had spectacular recent footage of these car bombs going off. Yeah. I don't know if you've seen them. First off, they're horrifying for some reason because everyone's caught off guard and we're sort of standing around, all of a sudden these horrific explosions, and for some reason there's been footage of them the last few weeks or last few days. They just they never seem to have car bomb footage, but for some reason cameras have been rolling. And I was just thinking to myself yesterday, I would be a nervous wreck.
All the time.
Because anytime there's an automobile around me, parked, manned, unmanned.
Look, even when you're driving along, they would pull up alongside.
Driving along, the guy sitting next to me, of course. By the way, over there... They profile. No, but I'm saying you're sitting next to every guy next to you is a swarthy guy wearing something on his head with the brown eyes and a beard.
But the point is, he's profiling you. He's looking for you.
He's looking for you, and they do profile. And you're not going to pull up next to Sven, you know, the long-haired Swede. I would just be walking. I'd be freaked out
all the
entire time.
You'd want to.
No, not all right.
Yeah, that's what you hear a lot. You know what I would do? I would probably just freak out and blow myself up. Preemptive strike. You'll never get me. I'll get myself. Do it myself. All right. So now you're back.
I'm back. And one thing, you know, I think it's really important for people, despite their views on the war, to really support our troops. It really helps our morale out there.
Do you feel you're not getting support? Or?
Well, yeah, any support. I mean, I know there's a split view on this war, and I could understand both sides, honestly.
Yeah.
However, no matter what the views are, I believe it's extremely important to to appreciate those out there in the desert and under 130 degree heat and in dead summer, and let them know that you appreciate everything they're doing. It really helps morale and gives them a sense of purpose.
Ironically, the Michael Moores of the world, and Barbara Streisands and whoever else, Alec Baldwin types of the world, are the ones who say out of one side of the mouth, "Look, we're trying to protect the troops."
Yeah.
But the reality is I think they are serving to demoralize them to some. And unless you can bring them back,
right,
maybe you should put a sock in it,
right,
until they're done doing whatever inevitably they're going to do.
Totally.
Because I do think these guys who claim to be your best friend and who claim to be worried about you, it's sort of like, look, Michael Moore saying is like, I care about the troops. Bush, he doesn't care who he sends to die over there as long as it's not family members. Mm. But ultimately, Moore's probably doing more damage since you're already there.
Right.
Yeah.
All right.
True.
So
we appreciate it.
Yeah. What don't we know about Iraq? What is, and there may not be an answer to this question, but I mean, what would be surprising to most people here in the States?
The most surprising. The best advice I could probably give is not drink the water. Their water supply out in Iraq, because I did that and I paid for that.
So bad water, but the indigenous
really really bad water. Like it was horrible. Like because we ran out of the bottled water because that's all we drink, and so I end up drinking the country's water supply, and I.
You get Shigella.
What's that?
You get Shigella.
Yeah. Well. I don't know what that is, but no, I got the runs.
That's what that is.
I got really bad. Like I literally woke up and I had a really embarrassing moment one morning. So,
all right, Nick, I appreciate you launching into the humiliating story about yourself, but I wasn't talking so much about don't drink the water.
It's about the experience of the country. And, yeah, we look at it.
U.S.ing on yourself is an important part.
Okay,
of
well,
the country and its culture. Don't get me wrong, but I'm just saying, if I go out there, let's say, what would I be most surprised at beside the mark you left on your bunk?
Well, first of all, I really do believe that. When I went in there, I believe that it's going to be like Vietnam, and like I'm going to be in war. It's just going to be like you're basically crawling around all the time. Mm-hmm. It's not really like that. You have to watch your back all the time. Yes, and things do happen. I did lose some friends out there, and you do see things. However, it's not like every day is so extreme where you.
And what do you think ultimately? Do you think there's the ability to
have
a free election and move toward a democracy, or does it seem like we're trying to get blood out of a beat?
Okay, I'm not trying to turn this into a media bashing thing, but I do believe that the media has blown that up. See, in Iraq, when we first rolled into Iraq, it was almost like a parade, because when we were rolling in, like all the Iraqis were cheering and yelling at us and waving. It was seriously like we were all lined up on the streets.
Well, if you think about it, I mean, you look at it this way. I'll put Nick on hold for a second. You get one, because I'm scared to tell another S story. You get one car bomber for every 5,000 fans.
Right.
It's going to make the news.
That's right.
And it's, by the way, an unacceptable number. But if you think about it, one guy, one sort of fanatical guy with some C4 and an Impala is counts is like of 10,000 votes or something. So, there's another car bomb is there. Well, obviously, I don't know what the population is, but the amount of car bombers or people that are fanatics against the United States or whatever, compared to the amount of people, it's got to be 1,000 to 1.
Yeah.
Maybe more.
Yep.
And we're not, it doesn't feel that way. It feels like, this represents the entire country.
Right.
I think we're getting a lot of that via the news.
Nick. So, Nick, let's get it back to you. What's going on tonight?
Well, here's the thing, man. Like, ever since I was, all through my life, I really, have trouble speaking to girls. I mean, this is, like a really weird thing with me because, look, I'm not a bad-looking guy and all that, but, whenever I start talking to girls and especially ones that I'm attracted to, mm-hmm. I get really tense and really nervous.
But you understand that is universal.
Yeah.
Well, maybe your expectation is a little skewed. Maybe yeah. because you're so confident in other areas, you're shocked that it sort of you're beaten down by a mere female.
Yeah.
But every male has that or continues to go through that.
Yeah, that's what quaaludes are for.
Well,
loosen
you
up a little bit.
I mean, here's the thing. Like, most people get nervous because they're not, like, I think it's more the uncertain, they're uncertain of what they think about them.
Yeah.
That's probably have a lot to do with it. Like, especially since I'm an Iraqi vet, I'm Mr. Stud now.
Right.
A bunch of girls are just like totally like very flirtatious with me, and I'm not talking about they're talking to me, they like me. It's more along the lines where they would give me like random like massages, and they would be like hugging me all the time. And
Nick, I got an idea for Nick. You tell them that story about you crapping yourself in Iraq. That's going to elicit a lot of sympathy.
That humor.
Yeah,
card gets played.
Yeah,
self-deprecating humor.
All right. So let's just break this down for a second. There's no guy that's not nervous, but he's saying he's even more nervous.
There is something we've never really talked about, that some guys have problems with boundaries with women, and they get fearful they're getting sucked into something.
Mm.
He doesn't know how to say no, how to stop it, how to make choices.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I'm wondering if it's that kind of a thing.
Mm. He couldn't articulate that if it was.
Well, let me ask him.
No.
Hmm.
Here's the point.
Right.
I've been talking to him for too long.
Right.
I'm sure he had all those stupid Iraq questions.
Yeah, yeah.
Here's the thing. At 23 is a guy you're supposed to be coming out of this, but you ain't out of it yet.
But he said he's not uncomfortable with women. Not worried about being attractive or being rejected. It's something different for him.
No, he's attractive is what he's saying.
Yeah.
Look, well, first off, women don't judge by the same criteria that we judge by.
Right.
You being attractive is nice, but it's more your rap in your vibe that they buy into.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah. Sorry, Nicholas.
That's okay. That's right.
Nicholas,
so what is it that's making you nervous? Can you articulate it?
Well, I don't know. Now I'm thinking about it psychologically, again, into the deep soul thing here. I guess because, like, well, back in junior high, I used to get picked on a lot
mm-hmm.
by both genders, maybe. Maybe that mm-hmm. had something to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I mean, like,
I think more that whatever it was about your home life or your development that caused you to get picked on may be more at the core of this.
Some people are naturally shy. You have three kids. Well, one of them is much shyer. The girl is much more extroverted,
mm-hmm.
probably takes after her wife. And you have a son that's much shyer.
Yep.
They're grown up, same environment, same genes, same everything.
That's right.
That's just some people just are a little more introverted, just like some people are more extroverted.
Right, that's right.
Right, so that's number one. Number two, 23-year-old guys, a lot of them are in that.
And by the way, he's just trying to get his skills together. You know what I mean?
You got to get your rap on.
Yeah.
Here's what you need to do, I think. And Nicholas, by the way, is he's on the Hot 25 Celebrity Bachelors, according to Latin People.
Hmm.
Is it Latin people?
Or just regular people?
It's people in Espanol.
Yeah. But the Latins dig him, too. The point is, his top 50 gardeners on TV of all time. A landscape architect. Sorry. Here's my point. You have to get your life together in order to get your rap together.
Yeah.
And it's not, you got to pull up an expensive car, you got to wear flashy jewelry.
You just got to have a purpose.
You got to get your confidence.
Yeah,
you got to feel like you got a career, not just a job.
Yeah, but Nick kind of has that from his Marine.
Yeah, Nick came back. He's floating a little.
He's out of the service.
Discharged. He got a high school degree and he went to the service.
Now he needs.
So here's what you need to do, guys. Focus on your life.
Yes.
Forget about the rap. Forget about the chicks.
Yes.
Work on the career. Work at the gym. Mm. Work on your social life, your friends. Learn a language. Have a skill. Be interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Have things.
Yeah, women know, and they gravitate towards when a guy's got everything together. They like when a guy is like where he is seems like the place to be,
mm-hmm.
or is the center of attention.
Yeah.
Girls, regardless of if you're famous or you have this military background that people respond to, women really, more than anything, respond to if they're having fun and you got everything on lock, and when you have everything down.
Yeah, and they respond to confidence.
Well, I would say you sort of articulated that, Adam. Hey, follow me.
That's what they want.
Yeah.
That's why the worst thing you say to a chick is like,
"What do you
want to eat? Where do you want to eat? Where do you want to? Where do you want to go? What do you want to do?" They want a guy. Here's their favorite thing is I got a place. It's an Italian place. It's down in the village. I know the chef. this is great. It's hard to get in, but I know the guy. We're old friends, and that's what we're doing. And I'm telling, let me order for you.
Tell him what you're to gonna, wear, what time you're picking him up.
Yeah, and I need oral now. Mm-hmm. Now, Drew, I'm talking
about. I know you are.
Okay. Okay. As long as you know. Jenny, I know what the ladies like. They like giving me oral. That's what they like. That and the calamari. If we're going Italian. Jenny?
Hi.
19?
Yeah.
Oh, she's just perky.
All right.
What's going on, perky?
I was wondering, when I have sex with my boyfriend, I am currently on birth control. And sometimes, like, he likes to have sex without a condom.
Wait. Mm-hmm. You're on hormonal contraceptions?
Yes, at least.
And you were using a condom?
Yes.
Okay. You ain't never going to get pregnant.
I really don't want to get pregnant.
Don't worry, you are not.
No S.
Yeah, and so I was wondering, if we have sex and he doesn't come in me, but he's not using a condom, is it almost guaranteed that I won't get pregnant? Because I always get really paranoid about getting pregnant.
Whether he does come or doesn't come in you, it's almost guaranteed you're not going to get pregnant. You're on the pill.
But it's an act of violence. So you need to know that. Act, yes. It's violent. When he orgasms.
That equates with a violent act, of course.
That's violent.
What's that, Jenny?
So, isn't there still 2% though that get pregnant after even?
Well, here's the deal. The basic statistics are that it's more like 0.01%.
Okay.
But in teenagers, the numbers are a little higher. So, and I think that's
right.
Absolutely, I think that's what it's a function of. But if you're actually fastidious about taking the pill, the chances are really remote. And if he's using a condom most of the time, forget it.
You're almost 20. You're not going to be a teenager anymore.
Right.
So.
Damn. Hey, and Jenny, stop making the guy wear a condom if he's your boyfriend and you're on the pill.
Okay.
All right.
Because, I mean, I like it better without it, too, but it's just I really, really don't want to get pregnant. So
you're
really
being very appropriately conscientious and fastidious about that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so if I don't take it at exactly the same time every night, it's still effective, right? Like within 2 or 3 hours?
It should be, yeah.
Okay.
It should be fine. But you're starting to get 6, 8 hours differences, then you start to make a difference.
Okay, so you'd say 2 or 3 is fine?
Yep.
All right. Okay.
How about the patch? How about other kinds of means of delivery? NuvaRing? Other things you can do other than take the pill?
Where do you put that patch? Anywhere?
No, I don't have a patch.
On your side? Oh, you put it on the side?
You can,
yeah. No, because, you know, that puts something on there to aim for. You know?
Where you put it above the, above the coccyx or something?
No, just even on the front, you know, just a little something. Like, you know,
a bullseye
on the back's the baseball. That's a baseball that no one has ever. Somebody probably thought they had a brilliant idea with dartboards in like 1918.
Yeah.
Like, we'll put a baseball game on the. Bernie, genius, I tell you. That'll probably be bigger than darts. No one's ever flipped it over. No one's, anyone ever played that baseball
game? And it became a convention. It's part of a dartboard.
You got to put it on there. But no one's ever. Put it on!
How will they know it's a dartboard without the baseball?
It's going to add $20 to each unit. Put it on! And I don't even know if anyone even knows how to do the baseball. Like, what's home run? Is hitting home plate or the pitcher's mound?
I don't know. I never looked at it.
Yeah.
I know it's there. Never
it's
looked
there.
At it.
I think the problem with dartboards is once you put them on one way, they're kind of like reversible windbreakers that no one ever reverses.
Right.
Or the hood that unzips from the thing that you never take out.
Right.
Once it's on, that's it. It's on that way. You walk away. And no one ever goes, ooh, darts. But not quite in the mood for darts. I'm in the mood to throw a dart, but not for darts. Actually, if I had my druthers, I'd be throwing a dart, but playing baseball.
Yeah.
It's never the same. You want to throw darts.
Put them together.
Darts and baseball.
That's it.
In Mexico, I think they got like a soccer version of that. Like you turn over, there's a soccer field. Like in Europe.
But in Norway or something.
You think in Europe they have like a soccer field back there?
Yeah, cricket. Brazil.
Ooh.
Cricket,
yeah. I mean, why not just put basketball while you're back there, too?
Or football.
Just put football.
Yeah.
All right. No one's ever done it. Do they still do it, you think?
I think.
Is it one of those things like you got to put the parsley by the side of the plate?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Let's keep going here, yes?
Yep.
Yes? Alexander?
Yes, sir.
You're 18?
Yep.
What's up?
Oh, I actually have a couple questions. My first one is I'm engaged. My fiance and I, we've been dating off and on since we were in the eighth grade. We've known each other pretty much our whole lives.
Yeah.
And We've been sexually active for about 3 years now. She's on the pill, and, you know, it's been going real well. But a while back, she just out of nowhere, she wanted me to slap her while we were having sex. Okay? So I slapped her, and she stopped. And she started freaking out on me and crying. And like
that is a great example of that, of the craziness of those impulses. That if you were beaten as a child, it sounds attractive and arousing to you, but when you actually experience it, it evokes all the horrible traumatic feelings. Fantastic.
All right, so when you were having sex with her, it was an act of violence, but when you slapped her, it was a sexual act. I think I'm doing the math.
Yes,
there.
That's how that
it
works.
Became sexual at that point.
Right. Well, he didn't ejaculate because she stopped.
Oh, that it was a sexual act.
It was
that
violent.
Was going to become violent.
Sexual. I can't.
I
got to
work
it
out. All right, so yeah, that usually, pardon the pun, smacks of something in the past, Alexander.
Well, it was weird because, you know, she started freaking out on me, crying, saying I couldn't believe you'd ever hit me.
Hold on one second.
A little
there's
bogus feeling.
There's
yes,
a bogus
definite
quality.
Bogus feeling, yes.
I'm getting a bogosity here. He's putting it, he's crafted the story nicely.
But then he started pushing.
Yeah, okay. Let's just keep the bogus meter up. There's something bogus, Spidey sense tingling in the bogus department. Go ahead, Alexander.
Well, the weird thing is that happened, and that was like 9 months ago. And all of a sudden, out of the blue, I just got back from vacation. We hadn't seen each other in a couple weeks. And, you know, we've been going at it like jackrabbits. And tonight, we were talking about, you know, just our sex life in general. And she told me she wants me to get, like, violent again. Not like, you know, like punching her, but she wants to be slapped around.
Where'd you go on vacation?
Pardon?
Where'd you go on vacation?
I was in Florida.
Nice. Oof. 2 weeks, huh?
Yeah.
Wow, your family must love you. You never went
they
anywhere.
Do.
All right, and so, she, okay, do you know that, has she ever been, was her dad ever violent with her?
No, not really. The only thing I can think of is she was brought up, like, Catholic, in a very strict Catholic home, very strong moral sense there. Of course, the whole premarital sex thing, you know, I mean, obviously, I think that's one of her...
Maybe she wants to be punished a little.
Just realize the aggression, the violence and all, attracts and overwhelms. Evokes all kinds of mixed feelings. So it's probably not a great road to go down with her.
Well, a couple of things. First off, these things are amongst sane people are supposed to be indicators.
Right.
It's not, this isn't a fire coming out of the engine compartment, but this is a light blinking on the dash.
Yes.
And you don't have to pull over and get a fire extinguisher, but you drive home, but check, pop the hood.
Yeah.
Check it out. Something's going on. This is a little warning indicator that
and
something's
by
not
the way,
quite right.
When the lights are on, that's not the time to sort of rev the engine and start speeding.
Right.
Slow it down.
That's right.
Slow it down.
All right, so check into that warning light, and by the way, this you're still test driving the car. You've not bought the car yet. You want to look into what that warning light indicator is before you buy the car, meaning get married.
Oh, they're engaged at 18.
They're engaged at 18, which is another
sign, another warning light.
Yeah, it's a warning light.
Yeah, another one.
Yeah. Yeah.
Why the big hurry to get engaged? 18.
I don't know. So here's what this warning light says to me. Slow it down.
Slow
Reel
down.
It in
don't
just a
don't
bit.
Go down that path of attraction and arousal that she has. That's where all the trauma stuff is.
Yeah, and you will. And by the way, you will lose control of this thing soon because it can go unchecked.
The scary part, if he doesn't go down, though, she might need a little chaos to inject into things and start cheating, that kind of stuff. They can check the hood.
Check.
Pop the hood.
Kick them tires.
Yeah.
All right. Let's take a break. Were we talking about cars or not? I got lost at a certain point.
Cars.
It wasn't an analogy.
No, cars.
Okay.
Oh, wait a minute. Okay.
All right, I'm Chris. Were we just using that as a metaphor for his relationship, or were we actually talking about cars?
I think it was a metaphor.
Really?
How about the violence and what the violent act is versus sexual act?
That was definitely car talk.
Okay.
Nicholas Gonzalez is here tonight from the OC and also Law & Order Special Victims Unit. We'll take ourselves a quick break. Be right back. After this. Yeah! Woo! Hell Hell yeah, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Nicholas Gonzalez is here tonight from the OC.
Hello,
everybody, and also Law and Order, Special Victims Unit. Drew is eating himself some honey roasted macadamia
nuts. Can't stop.
Macadamia nuts are awesome. And, you know, the guy who figured we should honey roast a macadamia nut has got to be the same guy who figured we should deep fry Snickers bar.
Yeah.
Like, this isn't bad for you enough. It's not sweet enough. It's not good enough. We could make it better. Why don't you know they should do?
Deep fry Twinkie.
They ought to do that. You know what they ought to do? They ought to honey roast it and then roll it in, like, cocaine.
And then chocolate.
Yeah, and then and then Jimmy's.
Yeah.
Yeah. Whoever, by the way, the man who invented the honey roasting, I want to talk to him. I like some sort of award given. Maybe it's posthumously. Possibly, you know, Bob.
But just take a beat. Just take a beat and acknowledge him.
I'm taking a beat right now. And whoever had the idea for, you know, rolling stuff in honey and then roasting it again. Just a great idea.
Thank you.
Great.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what happens to a nut when you roast it. I'll tell you, I ate a raw almond today. Tasted like I was picking corn out of Duke.
Right.
Like, is it like nothing?
Chewable.
It was just cud. Yeah. Then it was like biting a piece of chalk off.
Yeah.
The first guy to fire up that oven and toss them nuts in there, genius.
Another guy would like to stop and acknowledge tonight.
Yeah.
Nice.
Give him a shout out, too.
What about the guy that made pistachios pink?
That was a weird one.
Yeah.
And you know what was weird, too, is you couldn't find a pistachio that wasn't painted pink. And now you can't find one that's painted pink. And somebody said, like, look, we're never, you know, maybe it was one of these things like, look, we'll take these lobsters and we'll feed them to the slaves and we'll use them as cattle food. You know, like maybe it's just one of those things where, you know, you hear these stories where 150 years ago, lobster was just so much, you know, was just a feed for pets and, you know, slaves. And, you know what I mean? Nothing was a delicacy. Or if it was, it wasn't this. Now it's, you know, 20 bucks a pound. Maybe it was the same thing. Like, maybe no one would eat these pistachios.
They had to make them pink to make them more appealing.
I don't know who figured this out.
They didn't know about the lobster. And to think that people are complaining about oppression all those years ago, and they got to eat lobster?
Yeah. Listen.
Come on.
You guys were this close to surf and turf. Give me a break. Sew your chain to the table.
They got the expensive side of the surf and
turf. That's right. That's right.
Come
we're
on.
Sitting in there. Yeah, we're eating filet. We're eating T-bones.
We grew up on beans.
Lobster. Yeah.
No meat.
Yeah, you grew up on beans. That's right.
I had it hard.
Nicholas is Mexican. He grew up eating beans and churros and drinking that horchata. I'm always like, whenever a culture tries to talk me into their soft drink, I'm like, how about a Coke? This one is rice based.
Straight out. Through donkey testicles.
I'll take the worst. We start getting in the Middle East. It is yogurt. We take vinegar, salt, and lemon, and we it's very
goat milk.
Goat milk, and we leave it in the sun. It's like, first off, you know the people tell you the stuff with all the crap, the five crappy ingredients, and then tell you have to try it.
Right.
This is a stew. This stew has a gizzard, tripe, eyeball, and a floater of what came out of that guy in Iraq.
Well, now you're talking about menudo. I grew up on that stuff.
Menudo.
That's exactly what
I had. You got to try it. It's like, look, if the two ugliest people I knew have a kid, do I have to, you want me to date them like sight unseen? Like,
right.
No, I know what's going on here. I don't need to try it.
Yeah.
And in the same, now here's the same thing that the Middle East, they have horrible, horrible drinks. And here's all I'm saying. We'll handle the soft drinks. We got 150. I mean, we got Mellow Yellow. We got Mr. Pibb. We got Mountain Dew. We got 30 different kinds of the same thing.
Mug root beer.
You can get
Big
Mug.
Red.
You can get Big Red. You can get you know, Royal Crown Cola, or you can get Pepsi. Or
Dr. B's.
We got it all. We got it all. We got the grape. We got the orange. No, don't worry about it. You guys start focusing on other things. Things that we might ingest, by the way.
Shawarma?
Yeah, work on another kebab.
Yeah.
Work on a kebab combination. You know, this time, instead of beef, onion, bell pepper, beef, you go beef, onion, beef, bell pepper, onion, bell pepper. Larry, just screw with the combination. We'll work on that. Yeah. Don't worry about the drinks. We got those.
Deep
hands down. And I want to put the same thing out for the desserts. You guys with your
Mexicans,
Mexicans with the flan and the crazy stuff shaped like a cactus, and the Koreans and the Japanese with the tea-based ice cream.
Mochi, no, rice balls.
We got it. We got your apple pie a la mode.
Well, the French got it.
We got your cobbler. Let France handle this.
Creme brulee.
But here's how we have to treat. We have to treat like the Dirty Dozen. Like, you got the knife specialist.
Right.
You got the demolition guy. You got the ballistics guy. You got the face man. That's me. I'm the face.
Cash register.
You got the cash register right here. No, but everyone's got their own specialty, and now you have a fighting force to be reckoned with.
The world cooking community.
Yeah, otherwise, you got every guy. Imagine if the computer guy was trying to throw the knife. That would be the equivalent to letting the Japanese
do the
dessert.
And just so we don't date ourselves too horribly, let's refer to Ocean's 11.
Yeah, Dirty Dozen.
Yeah, Dirty Dozen. And what the hell you're talking about?
Okay, Ocean's 11. Not everyone is a computer guy. Not everyone is a master of disguise.
Everyone has their specialty.
You can't be a master. You guys work on the kebabs. We'll do the dessert and the soft drinks. All right?
Yeah.
Mexicans, you guys clean up. There's a mess.
Ay-ay-ay.
All right. True. That was horrible. That's let's keep moving now. Mackenzie?
Yes.
You're 18?
Yes, I am.
What's happening?
Well, I just found out. I've been dating my boyfriend for about a year. I just found out he had genital herpes. So I'm pretty sure I have it too. And I just feel like my life hit the hugest rock ever.
All right. Now, how do you know he's been withholding this from you, or did he just find out he has it too?
He just found out he had it too.
How did he find that out?
We had messed around the night before, and the next day he called me and he said, "Mackenzie, I need to ask you something. Have you cheated on me?" And I was like, "Of course not, because we're both in a pretty monogamous
relationship." Yeah, no, you gotta lie.
Pretty monogamous.
That's nice.
Very monogamous, and I.
sort of pregnant.
Yeah.
Near collision.
All right.
But I can't even think straight. I don't know what.
Well, no, wait. Let's get back to whether I've got to really establish here whether he actually has this.
Mm-hmm.
How did he suddenly come to quiet?
He already found. Like, he went to the doctors. He went on Friday.
Why? Why did he go?
He had a little rash on his penis, and he's like, him and I are both like the cleanest freaks ever. And
had he ever had that rash before?
No.
Had you had any cold sores in your mouth, anything like that?
No.
Have you ever had cold sores in your mouth?
No.
All right, hold on. Let me talk to the jury here for a second. What about the chances of this guy contracting herpes or it lying dormant for a year before
they
met?
He didn't notice it or something, or sort of dismissed it, or was in denial about it, then it recurred. That's possible.
Now, usually when it kicks in big the first time.
The first time is usually the intense one, and it can also occur from oral transmission. She had a cold sore or something, didn't pay attention to it.
But it doesn't pop up the next day. It's something that...
Sometimes it does come rather quickly, but again, usually it is within 2 weeks. And again, she may have had the cold sore a couple weeks ago. Didn't think about it.
Mm-hmm.
Had an affair.
So, Mackenzie, you don't think he was cheating or withholding information?
You know, we discussed it, and he is, like, ridiculously honest with me. And
it's an interesting strategy, though, to sort of initially come on to her and say, "Were you cheating?"
No, that's mine. That's what I do.
That's what you do when you get a disease? Yeah.
Yeah. I'll
accuse your girlfriend of cheating?
Yeah.
Your wife?
Yeah. I'll do that. I'll go like, a hooker's pregnant, and it's your baby. That's it. She'd be like, "What? I don't even have a penis." Interesting. You got rid of your penis. Now, where is it?
It's the same thing with farting, you know?
It's just the two of us. I could still talk her into it. Yeah.
And then she may think she actually did it.
You know, Nicholas is somebody we could hang with. He immediately goes to the glass humor.
You farted, didn't you?
That means you're a manipulator. When there's just you and another person in the room, you break in and you can eventually convince them that it was them.
Yeah.
And get them to apologize.
That's good. That's an art.
While you slowly squeeze out another one.
That's right.
Oh, Nicholas. Huh? Wow. Artiste.
He was raised on beans. You heard him. Huh? Mackenzie?
Yeah.
All right, so
your thesis was on Ulysses, right? Yeah, okay. Yeah,
he's
great movie.
So you don't think he's lying?
No, I really don't.
All right,
how did the doctor make the diagnosis? Just by looking?
Well, he looked. Okay, there was this disgusting rash. He went to the doctors. on the Friday, and then they told him, he told me, like, that they told him, the doctor, or the whoever came out and told him that it looked like it, but they would run some tests, and he didn't tell me at all during the weekend because he didn't want to upset me. And then
what was the test they did, do you know?
Just, I don't know, I probably blood test. Whatever,
blood tests are pretty much worthless. So
whatever test they did, but
did they culture it? You know, they do a culture. Yes. They cultured. Okay, well that's it. That's the definitive test.
All right. So now you're worried you have it or going to get it?
I know I have it. I mean,
it's a pretty good bet.
And how do you not? I've been sleeping with him all this time.
Pretty good bet, Mackenzie. I think that's a wise way to think about it.
You haven't had a breakout.
No, not yet.
Women sometimes will have an outbreak, think it's a yeast infection or just a painful period, sort of miss it.
All right, so what's her next move?
I get a pelvic exam because you're a slightly increased risk of cervical cancer, perhaps. And just make sure if you have sex in the future, the guy wears a condom. That's it.
I'm freaking out. Like, I can't even sleep, and I haven't been able to sleep in 3 days. I don't know, I share drinks with my friends. Like, my family is very, loving, and we all kiss each other on the lips, and we're all just a very close family. And
Mackenzie, you don't understand this disease, do you?
No, not at all.
She has genital herpes?
You have in your genitalia, right?
Yeah.
You're not going to pass it if you don't have sex with someone.
Unless you're 69 and your dad.
Yeah.
And I can't judge because there's certain cultures where
that's okay.
And there's no judging. Because it's a different culture.
Yeah, how dare you? How dare you?
Cannot judge. But, Mackenzie, you're not going to give your dad herpes.
No, I know, but you can't.
That will be good for a colossal timeout, though. That would be like a huge grounding. Like, you think borrowing his car without asking is good for a grounding? Imagine giving dad herpes. Yeah, genital awesome. Herpes. You're grounded until at least your second year of medical school. You'll never leave this house. All right, Mackenzie's freaking out.
I know.
Mackenzie needs to chill out. Listen, many, many, many people on this planet have herpes.
It's a common thing, Mackenzie. Common disorder.
Relax. You're a smart person.
What?
I heard that, like, they were talking about it being like if you use the same towel and if you use the same soap and everything.
Oh, if you use it like a belt underneath you.
Yeah, if it's a wet towel and you've been sort of wiping down your genitalia and then somebody immediately wipes their genitalia, yeah. But that's not how it's transferred.
All right, so don't get weird on that. Yes?
Listen, it's a common thing. Just wear condoms fastidiously. That's all you got to do.
Yeah. Family members just got to put condoms on. That's how.
Or, dental dams whenever you can.
Dental dams.
Kiss your mom with a dental dam.
Yeah. All right. Use a condom with dad, dental dam with mom.
I mean, how do you counsel an 18-year-old who's convinced that her life is over? It's not.
It's difficult, and there's really nothing other than my chill pill.
Mm-hmm.
You got to take a chill pill. Relax.
There's nothing wrong. Mackenzie feels, I think it's felt like she felt tainted.
Right, but you have a doctor telling you that this is okay.
It's a common thing.
It's common.
You're
not going to pass it to your grandmother.
You're not harmed by this. You may not even pass it to future sexual partners. You need to be honest about it. You need to wear a condom fastidiously. This feels like much more than it actually is. Our culture has made it a big deal. It's just like the warts, which you almost entirely also have, and the other STDs that young sexually active people get.
All right. Nicholas Gonzalez is here tonight from the OC Thursday nights on Fox, 8 o'clock. Also, Law & Order's SUV. That's all
chill pill.
To say. Special Victims Unit. We'll take a quick break. Be right back after this. Yeah, everybody. Rock on, party down. It's a love line. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Nicholas Gonzalez here tonight from Law & Order SMU.
Southern SUV.
Methodist University. Special Victims Unit, and also, more importantly, the OC on Fox, 8 o'clock Thursday nights. Let me just say this. We were talking phone talk,
mm-hmm.
a little tech talk during the break. Drew, I've had a, believe me, you, first off, you're all very lucky that Nicholas showed up tonight or I would have launched into at least a half hour on how much the power's been off of my goddamn house. was off for 13 hours today. It's been off all. But the point is you know, the other beauty of living in a house and having no power is the mother effing cell phone doesn't work at
Why?
My house.
Oh, it just generally doesn't.
Because I'm up in the hill. And it's, so now the power's out, your cell phone doesn't work, and you see that, you know, the neighbor's house is going down the street in the torrential floods, and you think, I got to get back to the apartment in North Hollywood. Let's face it.
That's my place, guys.
Roof didn't leak, cell phone worked, power on all the
time.
The
mixed blessing of belongings.
It really was.
Ownership.
It really is. Mm. It really is. You guys who have nothing, thank your lucky stars. It's such a burden for those of us who are literally millionaires.
Wired in worldly possessions.
It's tough. It's tough. It is. All right. And now, give this speech to Nicholas. You see the cell phone here? I put the Velcro on the back there, and I hid it. I hit it with some, like, emery cloth.
I can see you cleaned it out.
I combed it. Yeah.
Last time I looked at this, look, he puts a Velcro, glues Velcro to the back of his cell phone because he only wears pajamas and sweats, and these things are made out of, like, you know, brushed titanium or something. Yeah, slip out of everything.
It's like greased soap.
Now, that's not the payoff of this story.
No, also, I have a cloth interior in my car, and I literally stick it to the passenger seat when I'm driving.
As opposed to it slipping into that gutter that goes to hell. Where's it go?
It goes to purgatory.
Purgatory.
No leather seats, huh?
Well, now I know. I know you're judging, but
he's literally a millionaire. He can't be bothered with leather.
No, I
can't be bothered.
Well, that's for his Aston Martin. That has the leather.
It does have the leather. Okay, go ahead.
You think I'm kidding?
I don't at all.
The last time I looked at the actual Velcro, I couldn't decide whether he'd used it to brush a cat.
Or it was all pube.
Or just solid pubic hair in it. It's just cake.
It's a pube magnet.
Now, you look at him. Look at take your hat off.
He wears sweatpants without underwear. Look at his arms.
I didn't know my hat was on.
Yeah. Okay. Pubes up there.
I got pubes on the head.
Pubes on the ass.
On the back.
Pubes. It's all pubes.
He
scratches himself with this thing and just peeks.
Well, I use it to hold to myself by static electricity. I used to. And now, oh, Drew.
Stick it to the shirt.
My sweater, everybody.
That's nice.
Yeah, like Laverne.
Why doesn't everybody do this?
I know what else I did? I scuffed the hell out of it because I thought, what the hell do I care what it looks like? And you're always doing this with yourself when you're putting it up, you're tucking it under your shoulder, you're wearing a windbreaker now, Nicholas. You take a regular phone with the brushed titanium on it, it goes flying.
It's hard holding.
Scuff it up.
That's what you were talking about. The Bluetooth is a major advancement.
And here's the thing. It's not like your car. You're not going to sell your cell phone. You're going to lose it, you're going to break it, or you're just going to throw it away in a couple of years and get better technology. Scuff it up. Plus, you look like a badass. People see, it's like, wow, look at that phone. Yeah. So it's like pulling in a full-dressed hog. Wow, don't mess with that dude. You want to know how bad that dude is? His cell phone is messed up. I mean, this is a badass dude. Yeah.
I'm scuffing mine right now.
Please. All right. Let's rock here.
Take a call. Here we go.
I feel bad for these two people who have been on for an unfair amount of time. Okay. Crystal?
Yeah?
You're 20?
Yes.
On hold for 109 minutes.
Well, yeah, you sit here and watch on TV, too, while you wait.
Yeah. Thanks, baby. What's up? Good listen to the show. What's going on?
Well, last year, I was my first year of college and everything, right? And I finally got out of the house and be able to do what I want. Of course, I went haywire and went crazy at house parties and all.
Mm-hmm.
Well, bad things started happening. Like, I would meet guys, and my friends will sit there and say, I'm terrified of guys. I don't like being alone with them. So I'm like, okay, don't worry. We'll watch your back and all this and all that. Well,
why are you terrified of guys?
Wait,
why are you terrified of guys?
I don't know. It's just something about them. Like,
All right. Well, we're suspicious, but keep going.
Well, I could, like, date back to when I was in freshman year of high school.
And what happened?
I met a guy, and he forced me to give him a blowjob and give him a handjob, and then my parents came home, and I shoo him out of the house.
Where'd you meet him?
I met him through a friend.
By the way, forced for BJ and handjob?
Yeah.
Need both?
Yeah, I didn't do anything. I just said that. I was like, no.
Oh, okay.
So you didn't do it. You weren't
raped. You didn't do it.
You just were sort of traumatized a little bit.
You met the guy, you brought him in, and you were scared, but you didn't do anything.
Almost a violent crime.
Yeah,
almost.
I was practically naked, though. I was just sitting there like, no, because I'm only, like, what, 14 at the time?
Okay, all right. It'll be a little rough. All right, go ahead.
Like, I'm just a little girl then. I'm just like, what the hell's going on?
Okay, got it. Okay.
What else?
I believe, like, that experience ventured into me.
Okay.
Like, right. Guys. No.
Nothing before that?
Nothing before that.
Nothing at home?
No.
Okay.
All right.
And what happened?
Well, at parties and stuff, of course, I would get inebriated or close to it. I only got inebriated about 3 times, but I would meet guys, and they'll follow me to my dorm, make sure I get to my dorm okay, and then all of a sudden, they'll want to start putting...
I'm a rapist.
True, place.
Yeah, they're not following you to your dorm to make sure you get there okay, Crystal.
Yeah,
maybe
I know.
You need like a primer on how men think.
Yeah.
So you can understand what they're doing.
So they get to the dorm, and then they do what?
No, like, I'll be like, it was a group of friends that want to walk back to my dorm.
All right.
And then since the group I'm with, they live on my floor, they would walk me to my room, and then the guys would say, okay, I got it. And I just sit there like, no. Because by this time, my roommate...
Hold on, 110
like
minutes? Not long enough.
Put
you
back on hold.
Put you back on hold. All right, so Crystal, what happened? No. Come on. What's going on?
Well, I got raped and all by guys plenty of times, probably 5 times or more.
Now, you call it rape. Do they think they raped you?
I don't know.
Or they just think they were making out with somebody when they were loaded, just hooking up.
Well, why do you call it raped if you walked back and let the guys in and had sex with them? Did they threaten you?
I didn't want it. They would force me. Or
how would they force you? How would they do it?
They would, like, pin me down in the bed, or they'll be like, okay, let's play a game. And I sit down, I'm like, no. They're like, oh, come on. And they'll just sit there and nag me until I say, okay, fine, or I give in. But
okay, yeah, well, you're right that they shouldn't do that, but I'm not sure nagging until
nagging
capitulation.
It's a form of rape.
It's a violent
crime. Nagging sexual crime.
You should mention that to your wife next time. She nags you.
Yeah, it's more of a hassle than nag. She calls it a hassle. Hey, Crystal.
Yeah?
Something's going on with you.
You got it.
And by the way, when they're raping you, don't you yell out for your roommates or dorm mates or anything?
Well, they're not there. Like, my roommate last year in the first.
Yeah, but you're in a dorm. Why don't you scream for help?
Everybody's either out at still partying.
Why don't you scream for help?
Everybody. You go out, you go drinking, you go to the parties, you come back. It's like a horror movie, just crickets. Thank you. Crystal, right. Something's going on with
all right,
you.
Here's the deal,
in a big
though.
Way.
Whether or not there's something, some distortion you have here, or you were a victim of a crime, you need counseling about these issues.
Yes.
You're in college. They've got very developed mental health services.
If you're legitimately raped, and I shouldn't say legitimately, but if you're raped, report it.
And just from the standpoint of you having these experiences where you feel out of control with men and then experience them as rapes, and you're repeatedly... you're compulsively reenacting these things, you got to get help immediately.
Something's going on.
Immediately, Crystal.
Okay, let's take a break. We'll be right back. Yep, well, that's the show. Nicholas, God bless you for coming in.
Thank you very much. Had a great time.
Good guy. Quiet,
we can hang with
confident, him. Certain swagger to him. Yeah.
I was prancing about the studio, wasn't it?
It was more of a man.
This is a swagger. Right?
He's on the OC on Fox Thursday nights at 8 o'clock and also Law & Order Special Victims Unit.
Sex crimes.
NBC, everybody. Thanks a lot, Nicholas. Appreciate it. Continued success. And until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying, mahalo.
I was like, no. No. I just sit there like, no.
This has been Loveline. Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.